Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. This offer expires Sunday, March 24th. To order yours today, go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code HOWIEBOGO.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We're ignoring all the conspiracy theorists, everyone who's playing bridge engineer at home, who's never even taken a class.
I'm sorry, did you just say tooken instead of taken?
Tooken a class.
Straight Tooken, starring Liam Neeson.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
We have a lot of violence around convenience stores and gas stations, so how can we hold those business owners accountable?
Oh, sure. Blame the victim.
The law enforcement community who know who supports them. They know who doesn't support them. And today, when Joe Biden landed at 1:30, he could have gone to that wake. He did a podcast with some celebrity. That's more important to him.
Our leadership has to empower law enforcement, not undermine them. And Joe Biden has undermined law enforcement the entire time.
I did.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats, beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. It's the final Friday of the month, the last hour of the final Friday of the month. That means it's time for Dr. Matt, the vet. He's here to answer your questions. Dr. Matt Callahan, he's a great vet. He's been in practice for many years. And he's here to answer your questions about your pets. He provide a second opinion if you're wondering if you're getting the proper diagnosis or whatever reason you need his help. This is a perfect time to get involved. Call us at 844-500-4242, or you can text us questions. Text Howie to 617-213-1066. Howie to 617-213-1066, and we'll try to get to all of your questions as we go through the hour. Dr. Matt, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show again.
Hi, Howie.
Hi. Tell us where people can reach you and where your clinic is and where they can reach you, what phone number if they need your services.
Yeah, our clinic is the Ipswich Animal Hospital. We're on Old Route 1 on the Ipswich Raleigh line. And our phone number during business hours is 978-948-8189.
Okay. So we already got people on the line. But the first thing I wanted to ask you about is, did you see this bill that was filed in the New Hampshire legislature? I don't think it went anywhere. It got an adverse report out of the committee.
No.
They wanted to ban the breeding of flat-nosed dog breeds.
Oh boy, here we go. Yeah,
like French bulldogs and pugs. This was put up by PETA, and they're very excited. This is the first legislature in the country to bite on their on their proposal. And again, it didn't go anywhere. But I mean, this is crazy stuff, isn't it? I mean, it would bar the sale of an animal that has a birth deformity that causes suffering and prohibit the intentional breeding with the intent to sell to individual animals.
Yeah.
And they say that it affects their lifespan, but I could tell you personally, you know Gunnar. Gunnar lived to be 18 and a half.
Really? He could have been 20 had he only had a nose. Yeah. I think there's a huge rabbit hole you're going down here, because then you go, I mean, the German government just had to deny they were trying to get rid of dachshunds, right? Probably because dachshunds have back problems. And, you know, maybe we should throw in Rhodesian Ridgebacks because they can get spina bifida. So, yeah just there's
German be Shepherds have problems.
Huge,
right?
Problems. Yeah, Golden Retrievers with hip problems, German Shepherds with sacral problems and elbow problems. And, yeah, that it becomes a, you know, the it'll become this huge sort of witch hunt for breeds of dogs that don't meet the Aryan standards, I guess.
That's a good way to put it. And here's what the PETA said. Many flat-faced dogs are unable to do the things that make dogs' lives joyful and fulfilling, like running, chasing balls, and playing with other dogs. I can tell you, Roscoe, the only ball Roscoe wants to chase, Doctor, I think you know this, is a meatball.
Yes. So no, I find that flat-faced dogs live sometimes quite often wonderful lives. So I wouldn't be in favor of this.
Yeah, this is crazy stuff. But it didn't go anywhere, and the Democrats on the committee were as skeptical as the Republicans were. But again, they start small. You know,
no, you're right though. That's exactly it. Is you start to worry that, you know, they're going to try somewhere else at another time.
Thanks. Okay. 844-500-4242. Speaking of pugs, Wally, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Wally.
Well, hello, Howie. Hello, doctor. I'm calling from Seattle. And yes, I do have a pug. And it's interesting you talked about this situation where they want to ban the breeding of pug dogs. And I was in the Sydney airport not too long ago, and I was telling a woman about my pug dog, and she said, oh, they should stop breeding those dogs. But what a whack job. But that's besides the point. I called to talk about the new pug puppy I have that I just adopted last month at 6 months old, and I just had some questions.
Sure.
And one of them is, my daughter lives in Richmond, Virginia, and we live here in Seattle, and I'd like to fly out and visit her, but how do you feel about flying with a pug dog?
Well, they don't fly very well. You know, it's partly the legs. I think
ha,
if
ha, ha,
thank
ha.
You. I think if you're going to fly, you know, probably the preference is to keep up a small dog like that. If you can keep him in the cabin, keep him in the cabin. I'm never a huge fan of putting dogs in the hold of planes, although many dogs do well in the holds of planes. I think they're pressurized, and the dogs are relatively comfortable. But my recommendation would be to see if the dog is small enough to try to have it ride in the cabin with you.
Yeah, we're going back to Massachusetts in a little over 4 weeks, and that's what we're going to do with Roscoe. We bought 3 seats, and Roscoe's going to ride in a little container.
Nice.
That should be okay though, right? 3 hours.
Do they have a meal for him or? Oh, he'll do fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him some meatballs since PETA's so concerned about him chasing balls.
Well, I hope they're vegan meatballs if you want PETA's approval.
That's true. By the way, I think this thing in New Hampshire, this legislation that's apparently went down, would affect French bulldogs more, because French bulldogs are the number one breed right now in the U.S., right?
They would probably English bulldogs, American bulldogs, I would imagine. Pugs,
and Boston Terriers, yeah. Which used to be the number one breed way back when.
Yeah. So yeah, it would be serious. Sometimes these things go nowhere. I hope this is one of the cases. During the first Bush administration, there was a bill to prevent veterinarians from prescribing human medications for dogs. But at the time, they had that, I think it was a Brittany Spaniel called Millie, and she was on like 4 different people medications, so I was pretty certain it would die in committee, which it did. So sometimes these things come up, though.
Yeah, I mean, some things they do for pets, like, you know, not chopping off the tails anymore. I mean, you know, I was watching a dog today, a French poodle, and I thought, you know, I think the poodle would look better with a short tail, but on the other hand, you don't want to really hurt the dog, do you, just for cosmetic purposes?
I think the tendency or the movement away from cropping ears and docking tails is a good one. I've never been a huge fan of it. I don't do ears. I don't think I've docked a tail in 10 years. But I think the tendency is to move away from it, and I'm all for moving away from it. Dogs look perfectly good with tails and ears. You know, the Dobermans look great with a long tail and long ears, and most other dogs do too.
Yeah. you try not to identify too much with your pet, but I just think to myself, if I had a tail and someone wanted to chop it off just so I'd look different, I'd be pretty angry about that. let's see. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi, Doctor. I've got a two-year-old 17-pound Norwich Terrier. It's my 11th, so I'm pretty familiar with the breed.
Right.
He's a little itchy in the ears, and I've been giving him 4 milligrams of Apoquil a couple times a day, which seems to work, but someone suggested putting coconut oil in his food, and I wondered whether there's any thought on that.
Well, I think for any dog with any allergies, essential fatty acids are a good idea. I don't think coconut oil per se is better than any other one. I actually like fish oil or one of the derivatives of fish oil, which are actually just pure essential fatty acids. The two essential fatty acids in dogs are EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid, and DHA, which is a word I can't pronounce. But those are the two in dogs. So you can derive those from almost any oil. The problem is some oils are actually very low in essential fatty acids and some are higher. So borage seed oil or evening primrose oil are relatively high, and fish are very high. So I would, if you wanted to do one thing, I would do either a essential fatty acid supplement or a fish oil supplement. I think those are probably the best, and they have the most science behind them that they will help a dog with allergic
coconut
skin
oil
disease.
Sounds healthier, but you're saying it's not, better for the dog.
Right. You're always paying a caloric penalty for whatever you're giving. And so I would give oral essential fatty acids. If your dog just has an ear problem, Apoquil certainly is good for allergies, but you also want to make sure that ears aren't infected. Dogs can be infected with Malassezia yeast. They can be infected with Staph pseudoanemius or Pseudomonas. So there's lots of things that they can be infected with. And so even if you've cured the allergy, you still have the infection. So you have to go ahead and address both allergy and potential infection.
Okay, so 207 says, is it illegal to dock tails now? It's not illegal.
It may be somewhere. I don't pay that much attention because I don't do it. But no, we see a lot of dock-tailed dogs still, so someone's doing it.
Yeah. 339 says, can't you hitch a ride up north with Trump? Bring chicken fingers on the plane for Roscoe. I'd say if I was heading south, I'd try to make sure he got one of those double cheeseburgers from the All American Drive-In that everybody was eating on the Trump Force One last night when they were coming back to Florida. All right, Dr. Matt, what's your phone number again if people need to your services during the week?
Yeah, people can reach me at 978-948-8189.
Okay, we'll be right back. And if you want to get on board, we got some calls, but we got a line or two open, 844-500-4242. Or you can text us at 617-213-1066. I'm Howie Carr.
Listen to the Howie Carr Show from anywhere.
Egads, what sorcery is this?
Go to howiecarshow.com and click listen to start streaming Howie live in crystal clear high definition.
I'm whispering right in your ear, buzz, 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 buzz.
I can't remember crazier times in my lifetime. Now more than ever, expect the unexpected with ReadyWise. Always be prepared. At ReadyWise, their mission is to bring peace of mind to their consumers by offering high-quality food and gear at a reasonable price. ReadyWise relentlessly pursues solutions to help you be prepared. Go to ReadyWise.com. Enter code Howie20 at checkout and receive 20% off your purchase. Or call 800-95-READY to speak with an actual person. That's ReadyWise.com.
The Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr, is back.
844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Eden Rafferty Attorneys at Law. To see what happened to my leg while having cryo performed at Restore Hyper Wellness. And it's not pretty. Go to EdenRafferty.com. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Really should come with some sort of a warning. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I went and looked.
For a legal office not to put one up there. We'll have to contact them about that. But today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is what is Biden's greatest accomplishment so far? inflation, illegal immigration, not being Trump, soft on crime, more foreign wars, student loan cancellation, racial polarization, or nothing?
Nothing.
60% say nothing, 28% say illegal immigration.
All right. So with us is Dr. Matt. Dr. Matt, where can people go if they, what's your phone number if they need your services?
Yeah, people can call me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital at 978-948-8189.
Rita, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Rita.
Oh, hi. Hi, Dr. Matt.
Hi, Rita.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
And I have a question about, I have a cat, Vinny. He's 14 years old, so I'm guessing he's a senior cat. He's not sick currently. He has been, but I'm thinking he might have dementia, although he's not as far gone as Joe Biden. But anyway,
does he walk up the short steps?
What?
Do you have short steps for him so he doesn't fall down? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
He doesn't have arthritis, I don't think. No, he jumps in. He's pretty good for 14 years. But he'll get his bowl of food is in the kitchen, and he will come into the kitchen, and it's a long kitchen, so it's like he'll stand there like 15 feet away and just stare. And I'm like, dude, you want to eat? It's right here, you know. So I have to pick him up, bring him to his bowl, and then he starts eating. So I'm like, do you think he has vision problems? And if he does, how do they check that?
Yeah, so there's lots of things that can potentially be wrong. 14 years old is certainly geriatric, and so the geriatric diseases apply, and certainly there are cats with cognitive issues, and cognitive issues are amplified by sensory issues. So cats with lesser vision and lesser hearing, just as people have a higher rates of cognitive dysfunction, there's not a lot we can really do for cats with dementia. I'll be honest with you, there are medications. I've never seen any of them work. But I think at 14, I think a veterinarian would look at a couple of different things. You know, I sort of call them the four horsemen of the feline apocalypse, but it's diabetes, thyroid disease, kidney disease, and cancer. So I think a trip to the vet probably makes some sense. Just, you know, at 14, sometimes they might want to run some blood work, do a good exam on them. There's lots of stuff they can find on those sort of things. So that's kind of how I approach this ADR cats. ADR is the University of Georgia's term for ain't doing right. So always been one of my favorites. So but there's lots of ways this thing can play out, and also can play out as relatively normal for a 14-year-old cat too.
Good luck, Rita. Christine, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Christine.
Hi, Dr. Matt. Hi, Howie.
Hi.
Hi. I have a 7-year-old Bichon. In December, he got sick with hemorrhagic gastroenteritis.
Nice.
And he recovered from that.
Yep.
Yeah. And he was always as white as a cotton ball.
Right.
And ever since he's been sick, he has, like, the staining, the pink staining on his mug, on his eyes, on his paws, and build up in his ears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a text about something like that, so that's why I wanted Christine on. What's going on here?
Yeah,
doctor?
So this can be staining for a number of different reasons. Tear staining and saliva staining will turn pink or brown. So this might be something, especially if your dog's otherwise doing okay, this might be something you want to take up with your groomer. There are definitely products that can get rid of this staining. If it's a lot in the eyes, then you can certainly check to make sure their nasal lacrimal ducts are open and draining their tears into their sinuses and not out onto their face. Do you feel like the Bichon has a lot of just stuff in the corner of its eyes, or
Christine?
In the mug and not in the ears.
Yeah. So the ears, I mean, Bichons are especially rampant with, hairy ear canals, and that can be a problem. So some groomers and some veterinarians will go ahead and pluck their ears and get all the hair out, and sometimes that can resolve that particular part.
All right. Good luck, Christine. 844-500-4242. We'll take some text messages when we come back, and we'll take some more of your calls. Dr. Matt, where can people go to get your services?
People can call me at 978-948-8189.
We'll be right back. Everybody, hang on. I'm Howie Carr.
From the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. There was an interesting press release today from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston. I never seen an arrest on this in Massachusetts. Hansen man arrested on federal dogfighting charges. And no, it's not Michael Vick. He hasn't moved to the Commonwealth. It's a guy named John Murphy from Hanson. He was indicted on 9 counts of possessing animals for use in an animal fighting venture in violation of the Animal Welfare Act. And they confiscated 13 pit bull type dogs last June from his residence and another residence in Townsend, Mass. Have you ever heard of anything like this in Massachusetts? I mean, I've heard of cockfighting, but I've never heard of dogfighting in Massachusetts.
Yeah, there's been many years ago, I worked up in Salem, New Hampshire, and there were a couple of dogfighting rings out of Salem and then a couple out of Lawrence and Haverhill. But I haven't really heard of it.
Do they have, like, regional conferences?
Well, no. We would see dogs that had come out of, like, a fight at the veterinary clinic, or they would be at the MSPCA, which I think is in Haverhill or Methuen. It was the MSPCA. So I'd see dogs at the MSPCA that had fight wounds, clearly from an organized thing. The thing that I find strange is this gentleman had dog fighting literature. I just that's an odd one, right? You know, what is that, like, dog fighting for fun and profit? I don't know, but it's not a common thing around here. That, well, at least I don't think it is.
Yeah, the U.S. attorney put out a special, an extra press release tonight, just saying that this was the first of its kind in the Eastern District of Massachusetts. Kind of, I was surprised, but I just sent it to Emma. She's going to tweet out the initial press release, so you can read up on it. All right, let me take a couple of techs here. And Dr. Matt, you're in Essex County. You're on the Ipswich Rowley line.
Yeah.
If people want your services or how to get to your clinic or a visit, I guess, what's the number they should call?
So the number is 978-948-8189.
Okay. 774, my girlfriend's coming home Sunday from a week-long cruise. I want to surprise her with an Easter basket of jewelry I bought, and I want to add a vase of a dozen roses. Have a cat. Is it okay to have the roses in the house, or is that a no-no with cats?
I don't think roses are a no-no. I mean, all house plants are all plants you want to keep away from cats. The real danger around Easter is daylilies. Those are very dangerous to cats. They can cause them to at least temporarily get kidney failure. I don't think roses are per se a problem, but I don't want to keep them away from the cat.
Girlfriends can be harmful too.
That's a terrible thing for you to say.
Okay. Nobody's
no comment
it.
On that.
Thank you for backing me up.
978. Dr. Matt, last winter there was a respiratory virus going around that was taking a toll. As with humans, do these things go away in the springtime, and are you seeing much of it now?
Yes, I'm seeing a lot of it now. It's been going on for at least a year. You would think that springtime would help, but I have not seen that to be the case. I think in part because dogs still go to doggy daycares and to kennels, and I'm not saying not to bring them. I'm just saying that stays relatively consistent winter, spring, summer, and fall. The frustrating thing with these things is they're not testing really positive for any one thing on these very expansive respiratory panels. Clients are disinclined to do these respiratory panels because they're very expensive, $200, $300, and it takes 10 days to 2 weeks to get all the results back. And by that time, you've already treated the dog. So I think there's a bunch of things that seem to be going around. The general consensus is that it's a virus, but I have not seen it really abate. No, there's still dogs with the problem.
Rich, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt the Vet. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, Howie. Hey, Doc. What's going on? Make a long story short, I live in a 3-tenant apartment, caught on fire. I had to move in with my daughter. She had this dog, pit bull. His name's Blue. Good boy. I stayed there for 2 years, and I finally found a condo that I liked, but no pets allowed. So I had to leave without the dog. But now I go there every Saturday, and now my daughter is telling me that when I leave, the dog curls up in a ball and he doesn't eat for days. And I'm trying to, like, how can we take care of that? Like,
yeah.
What do I have to do so he doesn't feel
service dog. a little sweater you can buy on Amazon for about $8.
Well, obviously,
no, it's really concerning.
Yeah, dogs miss people, right? Yeah, dogs are attached to people, and they miss people, and they pine away for them. So there's not a whole lot you can do there. I mean, certainly, I would try. There are appetite stimulants for dogs. There's one called Entice that you could try. I'm not saying she needs to up her dog food game, but your daughter might want to try something a little more enticing. Dogs, once they establish this pattern of coming and going, they'll have a little bit more expectations. You know, we have dogs don't understand if you're ever coming back ever again when you leave. But if you establish a pattern, they'll start to have an expectation that, hey, on this day, they're going to show back up again. So sometimes it's just a matter of time for them to get into the swing of things. Then there's anti-anxiety medications or appetite stimulant medications, and I would try any of those.
But Dr. Matt, I mean, if he did get a note from the doctor saying he needed a service animal, they couldn't keep the dog out of the condo complex, could they?
Yeah, we're going to have to get an attorney in here, so I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't want that.
He just doesn't. Rich, he just doesn't want to get into it. No, he knows.
Sherlock Holmes has cracked the case.
Thanks for the call, Rich. Good luck. Donna, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Dr. Matt. Everybody has, you get your dog spayed or you get them neutered because it's the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand why there's this big, don't get their ears trimmed or their tails trimmed or don't have a pug dog because it's bad to them. You know, what's the difference, really, if you're altering their bodies all the time? Why is there such a pushback on having a dog of a certain kind or a certain breed? Because you think it's bad.
Well, I it's hard for me to answer that completely, but I think that I think with regards to docking tails and trimming ears, ear cropping, I think it's just fallen out of favor. It's just people just don't really want to do it anymore. There's not a necessity to do it. You're not improving the dog's health. With regards to flat-faced dogs, I mean, there's a very small percentage of people that don't like it, and they're going to try to get
their
way.
And they all belong to PETA.
Well, yeah.
And they have a lot of money.
And they will pressure people to make these laws that apparently, thankfully, at least so far, don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Donna. Rick, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt.
Howie, this is Rick from the Cape. How you doing?
Good.
I got a question for the doctor. It's a behavioral question. I have two little pains in the you-know-what, Belgian dogs. They're called Skipper Keys.
Yeah.
And the boy is 2 years old, and the female is six. Great dogs, tons of fun. However, the female has a propensity, whenever a strange man walks into my house, the female... tries to bite the person's feet and shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Goes right after the shoes.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the why that behavior is. The male doesn't do it. The 2-year-old male.
Right. Well.
But I.
You know, these sort of behaviors, I mean, that skipper keys are known for, I think the most common term used with skipper keys is intense. And I actually really like skipper keys. I don't think there's any in my practice right now, but they're a terrific breed of dogs. They're very high energy, and but also they can have anxiety issues, and they're being defensive. I mean, I think that's really what's going on here is the dog is trying to defend their turf, and you know, knowing that there's not a lot they can do. I guess they're shoe biting. I suppose that's better than Achilles tendon biting. What you really need to do, certainly the better trained dogs, a dog you can call away, a dog you can put on a leash, you can use a muzzle when people show up in the house. Dogs know they have muzzles on and then usually won't even try and bite. But certainly if you wanted to employ, you know, start doing dog training work or even employing a dog trainer to try to get your dog to, you know, have voice command, I think that would probably be the best thing.
Thanks for the call, Rick. The guy just texted in from Chelmsford, and he said he just came in from taking a walk, and he said there was a tick on his shirt.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Are we already in tick season?
Oh, we've been in tick season since the last week in February. We've been seeing ticks on people and dogs, yeah. So yeah, it's been a really warm winter, and ticks use two sort of parameters to gauge whether they need to start getting out there feeding. As you might guess, if you're looking at it from a tick's perspective, it's pretty dangerous early spring to go out and try and feed because you're at risk of freezing to death. So what happens in these situations is they look for length of day and in ambient temperature during the day. So it's been warm enough since the last week in February that ticks have been out. I don't think we've had a week go by since late February that we haven't seen ticks.
And dogs
should be on flea and tick preventive up here right now.
Forewarned is forearmed for you and your four-legged friend.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Matt, what's the number if people want your services?
People can call me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital at 978-948-8189.
All right. We'll be back with a few more calls here in our final segment, 844-500-4242, or you can text Howie to 617-213-1066. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show will be right back.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by the 110 Grill. Easter is early this year, Sunday, March 31st. Book your table today at 110grill.com.
Listening to the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Dr. Matt, we have full lines here. Can you stick around if we don't get up through all the calls?
I will stick around.
And so don't hang up when we go off the broadcast airwaves here, because if you're on the line, because Dr. Matt will stick around and answer your questions. 844-500-4242. Maureen, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Maureen.
Yes, hi, Howie and Dr. Matt. I've called you before over my deaf kitty, which you said is bonding with her sister, and that's why he tunes me out. But he really is, you know, doesn't hear a lot of things. But anyway, I got nervous when you told that person who wants to give his girlfriend flowers that has a cat, I wouldn't do it. Cats, you know, you say keep them away from the cat, and you can't do that because kitties get everywhere.
Good point.
So don't get Easter flowers if you have a cat? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Were you asking Maureen or me?
Either of you. I don't have a cat, so I don't know the answer.
It is tough to keep. I mean, you have to keep flowers in a separate room. I've had cats and I've had flowers.
I'll say this. I've never given it a thought, and I've never had a problem.
Right. But with regards to a specific type of Easter flower, lilies are dangerous, and I would not get them if you have a cat.
Kim, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, Howie and Dr. Matt.
Hi.
Calling about a six-year-old rescue pup who has had a persistent lick granuloma that I've been trying to resolve for 4 months now. I've gone for two vet visits, two courses of antibiotics. I've consistently had the cone, and I even bought a sleeve on Amazon.
Yep.
And then this morning, for 5 minutes, I wasn't watching him, and he chewed off all of the new skin and new fur.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was almost healed.
Yeah.
Just wondering, what can I do? What should I do?
Well, be honest with you, lick granuloma is like the history of veterinary medicine in one disease. It is a psychological disease. It's a neurotic problem. So, I mean,
give us a quick description of it for those of us who aren't
familiar. Dogs will start licking just a spot on their leg, and they'll usually get a coin-sized lesion. But there are dogs that will lick right through their skin, right down to tendons or bone if they're left alone. They'll just lick that spot repeatedly. It's considered by most veterinarians a form of obsessive compulsive disease. And so what I use is a product called Synodic with a drug called Banamine in it, Meglumine. That's what I use topically, although some vets will use an anti-anxiety drug. I personally don't use antibiotics. There's lots of vets that do, but I certainly don't treat it primarily with antibiotics. I'd use either topical Synodic, or I would use one of the anti-anxiety drugs, fluoxetine, clomipramine, something like that. That's really the way to get it to cure long-term.
Good luck, Kim. Barbara, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi. So my cat eats towels and blankets. He always eats them after he eats his food.
Oh, that's nice.
And
like dessert.
Yeah.
yeah, exactly. He has no anxiety. And so the vet thinks that maybe it's because his stomach is upset. So they did a GI panel and came up negative.
Yeah.
He's a very happy cat, no anxiety. He loves strangers. Is there any way to keep him from eating fabric? He already had to have surgery to have one.
Oh, no. I just removed stitches out of a cat that was a thread eater. So the thread eater's second GI surgery to remove thread. So it is a tough one. Boy, you're asking a really tough question. I might still try an anti-anxiety like amitriptyline on this cat to see if it helps. Cats aren't going to tell you that they've got some form of stress or some form of anxiety. I know you say that the cat does not, but I would still try an anti-anxiety to see if it helps. And obviously, you know, if as much as you can, keep your cat away from anything like that they can eat. I already know you know that, but I still would try a product like a drug like amitriptyline.
Okay, Dr. Matt, what is your phone number one more time, and tell us where your clinic is so people can and again, hang on, guys. Steve and Ed, we're going to get to you after the show ends, but tell us where people can reach you.
Yeah,
Dr.
so
Matt.
People can reach me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital. My phone number is 978-948-8189.
And very, very quickly, we have about 30 seconds left. And again, hang on, guys, that are on the line. But what should people do about the ticks now that we're moving into ticks?
Yeah, for our dogs, the products that are best really are Seresto collars, very good. The oral products, Credilio, NexGard, and Bravecto, they're all very good. The topical Advantix is a 30-year-old product, but still pretty good. For cats, there's a product called Bravecto for cats, and that's a very good one. Those are really the only products that are worthwhile.
All right, Dr. Matt, happy Easter. And hang on, Ed and Steve. Dr. Matt's going to take it for you. Everybody, to the listeners, happy Easter. See you Monday. I'm Howie Carr.